NFL Week 7 picks and betting locks.
We went 5 for 5 last week. That's $100 into 4K, and we're ready to do it again this week. This episode of the Beam Pod is presented by BlockBet.
BlockBet offers the best combination of crypto gambling and sports betting, significant bonuses, and has global media branding awareness via their official partnership with the UFC.
Here's how to join BlockBet while receiving the maximum bonus and rewards.
Using our exclusive Beanstalk promo code, you can sign up now and receive a 200% deposit match bonus of up to $500 and 50 free spins on Gates of Olympus.
And if you deposit 50 block or more, you will receive 50 additional free spins on Sweet Bonanza.
We've been making a ton of money using BlockBet, and now you can too. Welcome to Beanstalk Bets. This is Shane, aka Jolly Green.
And this is Josh, aka Nifty.
All right, so we got NFL Week 7 betting predictions and weekly locks coming up. But first, let's just talk about how well we did last week, which should make you want to tune into this episode to the end and share this with a friend.
Yeah, we went 5 for 5 last week. And if you gamble on NFL games, you know just how hard that is. Not to mention the week before, we went 4 for 5. Even that's impossible. Mm-hmm. So our track record, we're trending up. This week, we're going 6 for 5, right?
All right, we'll hit 3 for 5 in week 4, 5, 4 for 5 in week 6, 5 for 5, 6 for 5 this week.
That's it, baby.
Let's
tune in. Let's get this going right away. We got game one. We have Atlanta. They are 2.5 favorites at home versus the Seahawks. Who do we like in this one?
So with this one, I see two teams going in opposite directions. On the one hand, you have a Falcons team that started a little rough, you know, new quarterback, new scheme, all that kind of stuff. But they've won 3 straight, and they're figuring it out on offense. They just beat all 3 of their division opponents on the trot, and they've put up 26, 36, and 38 points. The Cousins to London connection seems to be looking pretty good. And you have Seattle, on the other hand, who started pretty hot, but they've lost 3 straight. Albeit they played the Niners and the Lions, who are 2 really good teams. But they're getting owned on the line. And their defense, in particular, their run defense, is not looking great. So I'm thinking I'm favoring the Falcons here.
Yeah, look, I went to the Seahawks game a couple weeks ago. It was a great thing to watch because I could sit up high. I could look at how the game was unfolding. And the Seahawks, they got ran all over. For some reason, that defensive front cannot stop the run. Mm. You have one of the best running backs in the league, Bijan Robinson, coming in there. It's a dual-headed threat, actually, at the moment, because Tyler Algier also put up 100 yards last week.
Yep.
So this is a strong rushing team coming into a defense that struggles against the run currently. I want to highlight now that the offensive side of the ball in Atlanta is looking really good. Mm-hmm. So they've won 4 of the last 5 games. 26 points, 36 points, 38 points. This is a high-scoring machine right now.
Yep.
I don't know if the Seahawks have the offensive capability to keep up right now. DK's looking a bit, he's not looking like himself lately. Mm. And again, the defense is just not that great. So,
yeah, I think it's actually interesting because both of these teams are really good passing teams and really good at defending the pass. So I think you're going to kind of, the run game might be the deciding factor here. But for me, honestly, the deciding factor here is that the Seahawks are a West Coast team and they're going east to play in Atlanta, where Atlanta plays very well at home. And the time change for, we ran through that stat last week on teams that go west to east against the spread. It is very, very challenging. Mm. So for me, the deciding factor here is 100% the home field advantage for Atlanta. The fact that Atlanta is the hot team. Atlanta's figuring it out. Seahawks, I think they're a pretender. They're not as good as they appeared to be at the start of the year. So to see Falcons at home with only a 2.5 spread, I'm absolutely hammering that.
Yeah, Seahawks, they lose a 12th man advantage that they have at home. They've lost their last 3 games by an average of 10 points. Mm-hmm. We are taking Atlanta by 2.5 at home. The next game we have on this slate here is Philly. They are 3-point favorites on the road, mind you, versus the Giants. This is an NFC East divisional rival. You know, who do we like in this one?
So the Eagles have been kind of a weird team this year. They just haven't looked right. You know, they're 3-2, which is, you know, in the NFL, pretty good. But they haven't been dominating teams. You know, they only beat the Browns by like 3 points last week. Something just seems off. But if you look into what's happened, they really haven't had their full slate of like receivers and offensive weapons out there at the same time, maybe only 1 or 2 games all year.
Yeah.
AJ Brown just came back last week and he's amazing. Like this guy, he's only played 2 games this year. He gets 100 plus receiving yards and a touchdown every game. He is a game changer. He's starting to get 100% healthy. Then you have Devontae Smith, who missed a couple of games. He just came back last year. He looks like he's getting healthy too. Saquon and the run game has been carrying the load for the Eagles. They've got the sixth ranked run game in the league. And again, they're still getting it done. The Giants, on the other hand, they just came off an absolute stinker against the Bengals. They scored 7 points against the Swiss cheese Bengals defense. I'm thinking that, like, just from my gut feeling, I think the Eagles, they're a very talented team. Mm-hmm. When they're healthy, they're one of the best teams in the NFC. And as a big divisional game, I think this could be a statement game for the Eagles. Say, look, we are still one of the best teams in the NFC. We're a Super Bowl contender. They're going to go into New York, and I think they can beat the Giants soundly. So a three-point line for me, I think the Eagles are going to win this by a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm totally on board here. Like, I see the synchronization of the offense now starting to come together again because, like you said, DeVonta Smith missed a game because of a concussion. You had A.J. Brown missing games because of the hamstring. It's hard for a quarterback to be able to get that the timing necessary to really dominate teams. It takes a few games. So now that all the key pieces are in place, I think they can walk in there into New York and pound them by, you know, 21 points or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, at the end of the day, with these kind of games, you know, divisional matchups, hot, cold teams, I like the deciding factor to be, like, just look at the talent disparity between these two teams, man. The Eagles have studs at so many different positions.
That's true.
Offense, defense. This is a team that has not found their fifth gear yet. They're still stuck in second gear, but they're still 3-2. The Giants stink, right? Daniel Jones is not the answer. They did play well against the Seahawks in that game, but they came back right back down to earth and played a terrible game against Cincinnati on Sunday night. I just have no faith in the Giants. Even though it's in New York, I don't think they have too much home field advantage. I think the Eagles win this game by a touchdown handily. So, yeah, give me that -3.
Especially if Neighbors isn't playing.
Yeah, he's their only talented player.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, I actually think Daniel Jones could be good on another team.
Okay, yeah.
I do, I do. Like, you know, Sam Darnold's turning it up in Minnesota?
Yeah.
I could see Daniel Jones performing well elsewhere.
It's possible.
Yeah, this is my 2 cents.
Okay, well, let's jump to the Sam Darnold game then. So this is actually a really good week of games. There's some high profile games. Lions versus Vikings. Lions going on the road, a plus 1.5 underdog in Minnesota. What do you think about this one?
Okay, look, the Lions, they're coming off a bye. You know, they came into Dallas. They absolutely handed Dallas a fucking ass kicking. In Dallas, too. All the starters didn't even have to play that game. So essentially, Detroit has back-to-back bye weeks. So they're healthy. But in those back-to-back games that the Lions have played, they put up 40-plus points. This is on the back of a dual-headed threat in the backfield. The running game is incredible. The Lions' average margin of victory this season has been 16 points in every game, minus a one narrow loss to the Bucks early in the year. Minnesota, they have a questionable Aaron Jones. So, you know, if Aaron Jones isn't healthy, this is a hip flexor issue. This is not like a simple, like, oh, I stubbed my toe.
Yep.
You know, this is a big thing. This is where all the running backs' power come from. I see what the Detroit Lions have done to Dallas, how they were able to shut down CeeDee. You know, I see Sam Darnold is probably going to try to go to Justin Jefferson, as you would. Justin Jefferson has been the clear target in every single game. I think they're going to take away Justin Jefferson. I think they're going to pound the rock and easily beat Minnesota. You know, Minnesota, they're going into a bye week next week. I think they're just, like, craving that bye week. I think they're going to come down to earth, and this is going to be their first loss.
Yeah, so I think, first of all, we have to say the NFC North is pretty impressive, right? 5-0, 4-1, 4-2, 4-2, these are the records. For one division, that's pretty amazing.
It is.
As you said, we all know the Lions can pound the rock with Gibbs and Montgomery, but their passing game is really starting to come alive with Goff, with St. Brown, with Laporta, right? So they're a top five passing game in addition to them being a top three ranked rushing team. So they can do it on both sides of the ball on every facet of their game.
Yeah, Lions are top four in every offensive category.
It's really impressive.
It is.
So the Vikings have really been leaning on Aaron Jones in their run game. So with him out, like, I watched their last game. As soon as Aaron Jones left the field, they were a different team. They almost collapsed and lost that game. So if he's not 100%, I mean, he may actually miss this game. And even if he plays, he's not going to be 100%.
Exactly.
So I think that is way more of a loss. So for me, okay, you have the Lions, which have a great running game. The Vikings, which have a great running game with Aaron Jones. But then you look at the passing game. I trust Goff and those weapons more than I trust Darnold and Jefferson and Addison. the Vikings are ranked 30th in passing yards allowed. They've really struggled to defend the pass, and I think the Lions have a high-flying passing offense. This is the key matchup that I look for. I'm going to take Goff and their weapons over Darnold and their weapons. Like I've said on previous episodes, the NFL brings everyone back down to earth. The Vikings are 5-0. I think they're overdue for a loss here, and I think the Lions, we forgot to mention that the Lions have a top three running defense.
Yeah.
So even if Aaron Jones does play, the Lions are suited to shut down Aaron Jones, put the ball in Sam Darnold's hands, and that's not how the Vikings have been winning games. It's not Darnold's show out there, like throwing 500 yards and four touchdowns. It's the Aaron Jones show, and then Darnold's feeding off that. But the Lions can shut down the run game, put the ball in Darnold's hands. I think what you're going to see is Darnold make a few mistakes. The Vikings' undefeated season ends here. We take the Lions as underdogs on the road.
Well, people are going, what about Minnesota's impressive victories against the 49ers, Houston, and Green Bay? Well, I look at it, I said, all right, yeah, you beat the 49ers. 49ers are like a two, they're a 2-3 team. Mm-hmm. Then they beat Houston with no Mixon. Mm-hmm. Then they beat Green Bay. It was Jordan Love's first game back after that big MCL sprain.
Yep.
So, you know, you're taking on teams that weren't on full capacity. Mm-hmm. But it is also a super tough schedule. I think they're going to be beat up heading into this game.
Yeah, I just think the Vikings, they're due for a loss. And you know how much we love the Lions. Like, I love the Lions. I think they're one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah.
I think this is a huge spot for them. Big divisional game on the road. They're going to be absolutely pumped. They did just lose Aiden Hutchinson, which is a big loss on the defensive line. But I think that the rest of their team, that key matchup in the passing, the disparity there, I think is going to be the factor. Goff has a big game and Lions win. All the four games that we've agreed on, you can actually bet on these four games and get like a 15% combo boost when you bet on BlockBet, which the link is in the description. So if you take all four of the games that we agreed on, you make more money betting on these four games on BlockBet than you will on any other platform. So it makes complete sense for you to sign up via BlockBet via our referral link in the description of the episode and get free money. Last week, anyone that took the Beanstalk Parlay on BlockBet, if you took $100, if you bet on $100 on it, you turn it to $2,000. You're not going to get that on any other platform.
I like it. All right, so we're on to the 49ers at home. Thank God they're at home. Versus Kansas City. They're currently 1-point favorites. Who are we liking here?
So this is another amazing game. I mean, this is a Super Bowl rematch, right?
I love it.
Super Bowl rematch. Like, this is a star-studded week. So the Kansas City Chiefs have not lost a football game since last December.
I hate that.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, like, despite all their winnings, Rashee Rice out, Isaiah Pacheco out, they just keep winning. But when you look under the hood, like, look at Mahomes' stats. 6 touchdowns, 6 picks, QBR of 57.8. He's in the bottom half of the league in all of these stats. The defense has really been carrying the Chiefs. And, like, you know, they played the Saints last week. The Saints stink. They've had multiple close losses aided by the referees. So when you are betting against the Chiefs, just know you are also betting against the refs. But again, like, my thesis from the Vikings, like, I just think the Chiefs are due for a loss here. I think traveling to San Francisco is going to be motivated to beat the Chiefs because they beat them for in the Super Bowl. I know they've lost C-Mac, and I know Jordan Mason is questionable. It sounds like he's going to play, but he might be not 100%. But man, Brock Purdy is carrying this team.
Yeah.
He is a top 5 QBR. They are a top 5 rushing and passing offense. Jennings is having a huge year. You got Ayuk, Jennings, Debo, Kittle. This is a star-studded, very, very efficient offense. I just don't see the weakened Chiefs offense having enough weapons to keep up with these guys.
Yeah, it seems like anybody you put in the backfield as well, like Mason's been doing a really good job in the absence of McCaffrey. So it's like you can put any guy back there and they'll pound the rock. Mm-hmm. Look at this. San Francisco has outscored their opposition 96-43 in the first half of their first 6 games of the season. Mm. It's the second half of the game where they start struggling.
Right.
So they've been outscored 77-66. So they're putting up huge numbers in the first half. It's these last second debacles that the 49ers just have such a difficult time.
Yeah, interesting.
Niners have lost a crucial game this year where they're forced to go for it on 4th-and-23 because they didn't have a kicker.
Right.
Right? So there's some weird components that have kind of led to where the Niners are. But again, as you alluded to, it's just like the injuries on Kansas City. This is a rematch. It's pretty much the exact same teams minus 2 key components on Kansas City side. And the 49ers had a lead in that Super Bowl game. Mm-hmm. This is a revenge game.
It's a revenge
game. In San Fran.
Yep.
So the Niners, they rank in the top 3 in all offensive categories. They're tied for 8th in points per game. Kansas City, on the other hand, they're middle of the pack, ranking 15th in points per game. So I think there's a bit of a slight edge here for San Fran. I think this is the revenge game, and this is where they're going to make it happen.
Yeah, so if you've been following the show for the past, you know, 6 or 7 weeks we've been doing this, my strategy is to find, like, a mismatch in terms of matchups between, like, the teams, right? So Jolly's key matchup for this particular game is the 49ers' number 2 ranked passing attack versus the Chiefs' number 22nd passing defense. Mm. The Chiefs are good against the run, but the 49ers' strength is their passing game.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs struggle against the pass. So I'm thinking the number 2 passing attack versus a bottom third passing defense. Brock Purdy is he's an underrated quarterback still.
100%.
This passing attack is high flying. I think that's where they're going to get them. They're going to score way more points than the Chiefs. Last week against the Saints, Mahomes was able to get by with Juju and Kareem Hunt because the Saints stink. I don't think those guys have enough juice to beat the 49ers in San Francisco. So -1 point, -1.5, whatever it is right now, I'm taking them. I think they win this game handily.
Absolutely. I'm on board with you. So here's where maybe we differ in this game. Mm-hmm. This is the last game on the slate. We got Texans. They are 3-point underdogs on the road in Green Bay.
Mm.
This is an interesting one because we have a 5-1 Texans team that is underdogs. What gives there?
Well, I mean, these are two teams that we love. If you've been watching the show, we love the Texans.
I picked the Texans to win the Super Bowl.
You picked them in the Super Bowl. I think we've picked them on the spread every week. They haven't won on the spread every week, but they're 5-1.
Yeah.
I also really love the Packers. The Packers are one of my most fun teams to watch. Jordan Love, with his plethora of young wide receivers and weapons, this guy spreads the ball around almost better than any quarterback. They're 4-2, despite the fact that Jordan Love, their starting quarterback, has missed 2 games, right?
Yeah.
This is a very, very talented team. It's an interesting point about the Packers because, yes, you have Jordan Love and all these amazing receivers, but actually, it's Josh Jacobs in the running game that has been powering this team to most of their wins, which is going to come in handy because the Texans are, I think, number 3 stopping the pass. So they could give Jordan Love and those wide receivers some challenges, but I think Josh Jacobs and the running game is going to be key here. So what I'm looking for is the Packers to potentially control the game clock with Josh Jacobs, take the ball out of CJ Stroud's hands. But look, I love the Texans, and with Joe Mixon back there, they're a different team. They're a very strong team. This is one of the best games of the week. I just think that, again, Texans are 5-1. They've won some close games. I think this is kind of their moment to come back down to earth a little bit. I think the Packers are going to win this game by 3.
I think the Packers have an amazing team because, you know what really speaks to me is the fact that Malik Willis came in. For those 2 games, they still won.
Exactly.
So they didn't need Love, which tells me they have an amazing coach. They have an amazing team. They can get the job done with no matter who's back there. Obviously, it's better with Love. The Texans, their only loss came when Joe Mixon went down. Joe Mixon's playing. When he came back last game, 13 carries for over 100 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy is such a crucial component to this offense. Like you, I have the same notes. I look at, like, you know, where do these teams ranked in terms of how they perform against the pass and the run? If Green Bay can control the tempo of the game with the run game and just keep pounding the rock against a team that doesn't do as well against the run, sure. But I also look at Houston, which ranks 5th in the passing game, which is up against a 25th ranked defense against the pass.
Mm.
Where is it going to go? Is it going to be the rushing side, or is it going to be the passing side?
Yep.
So then I started to look at some stats to help me figure out who do I want to take. The Packers have lost 6 of their last 8 games at home as favorites against opponents on a winning streak. Interesting. The underdogs have won 5 of the Packers' last 7 games at Lambeau Field. So it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Packers have failed to cover the spread in each of the last 4 games as home favorites against AFC opponents. The Texans have covered the spread in 5 of the last 6 games in October. So all things said, I'm taking the Texans as underdogs. They're 5-1. This is my Super Bowl pick. Texans on the road in Green Bay.
I like it. I mean, look, the Packers, only the Ravens have more yards per game on the ground than the Packers. And that's because, you know, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, their running game is like in another stratosphere. But I think people are really underrating how strong the Packers are on the ground. And yeah, as you mentioned, the Texans have like a middle, maybe even like 17th ranked run defense. So I think that's the advantage I'm looking for. Look, this is going to be a great game. We obviously had conflicting opinions on it, but this is going to be one of the most exciting games of the week. So yeah, Packers. I've got Packers -2.5. You got Texans +2.5.
All right, I like it. Let's go. Let's go for another 5 for 5 here on the week. No, I'm saying, hey, make sure you guys tune to the next episode.
That one is going to be a banger.